We didn't get very far, but that's all right. Acts chapter 2, and I believe I wanted to look at verse 4. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, when we get saved, we are baptized with the Spirit. And we show the world by baptism that we are His, that, you know, really and truly that we are saved. Romans 6, 3 and 4, let's just go there real quick. We'll go to the book of Romans 6. When you get there, say amen. All right, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank You for this day, and we do thank You for the many blessings. We do ask that You would bless, Lord, as we study Your Word this evening. Lord, we just ask that You would open our hearts and minds to it. And Lord, if there's any here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that before they leave tonight that they would get saved. Lord, if there's believers here, Lord, that need to change some things in their life, need to come to You, that they will do so, that they will listen to what You're saying. And all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So when we got saved, that's really the Spirit baptism. That's when we get saved, the Holy Ghost comes, moves within us, and makes a change in our life that is a miracle. Now from that point on, we go and we unite with the church by baptism. And that baptism shows really the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it also shows that we are dying to our old self, buried, and we're risen in newness of life to walk after Christ. And we don't have to worry about it when we get... Listen, because Jesus was risen from the grave, guess what? We're going after Him. He was the first fruits. When He came up out of the grave, risen victoriously and went to heaven, that opened up the door for us. If He had have done all of what He did and did not rise from the grave, we'd be doing all this in vain. It'd be a waste. But, hey, He didn't. We serve a living God. Amen. He is in heaven. And listen, I serve Him and I know He's real. I don't care what everybody else says. I know the Lord Jesus is real, and He's real in my life. And, it's a blessing. Water baptism really is just a public confession that you have chose to follow Jesus. That's exactly what it is, and it also as well makes you a member of the church. Now, Spirit-filled is where I was at the other day. Verse 4 says, Actually, that word "filled" here, when you look it up, it's not the same as the one in Ephesians 5:18. That one means totally controlled. But this one was a filling. It was like a glass of water that was filling. The Holy Spirit did something special to those guys, and it filled them, and where... In 5:18, it's called the controlling part of it. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit in a different way at that time for a purpose. Now, when we get saved, when I got saved in 1984, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. All of it I'm going to get. Then, that word "filled" in there in Ephesians 5:18, though, that's where it transfers over to controlled by. Am I controlled by the Holy Spirit or am I not? And really and truly, that's up to us, whether we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. We can be saved and not be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But you cannot be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. It don't work. You've got to have it. Now, there are groups of people that will teach you, well, you get part of the Holy Spirit and then you get a little bit more. No, it don't happen. When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. And then it's up to us whether we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. allowing it to take control of us. You know, you can fight it, or we can allow it to take control of us. It's really and truly, it's in our hands, and that's scary, isn't it? Wouldn't it be nice if when you got saved, you just, boom, you just couldn't seem to mess up? You know, yeah. Yep. I mean, it would have been nice, but Jesus didn't do that. Because He don't force us to get saved. Because if He forced us to get saved, that wouldn't be salvation by grace. Salvation by grace is the only way is that we accept what He did for us. We accept that free gift. And it's the same way. Jesus gives us life. John 10:10 says He gives us life, but He gives us life more abundantly if we want it. Now, in the process of doing this, there's really three steps to being controlled by the Holy Spirit. One, you got to have a desire. You need to have a desire to be filled, to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have that desire, it's not going to happen. Let's look at John 4:14. In the book of John, chapter 4, verse 14, says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That verse is not totally 100% talking about salvation. That verse is also talking about us growing in the Lord. Because, listen, when I got saved, I wasn't a wellspring of living water. I started out working on it, but I got quickly shot down by the people I worked around. They didn't want to hear about Christ. Well, in a sense, I allowed that to sort of quench my fire. So I wasn't that wellspring of living water. I didn't go around telling everybody. I didn't go around doing what I was supposed to do. But as we have that desire for Christ to control us, then the more we read the Word of God, the more we become that river, the more it flows from us to all the people we're around. That makes sense? That's what it takes. It takes that desire. It also takes us asking Him. We need to ask. Listen, James told us, you want wisdom? Ask for it. Well, if you want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, ask for it. He tells us, ask Him. You look at John 7:37. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We need to ask for it. We need to ask the Lord, "Lord, fill us. Show us what you would have us do. Show us where you want me to study at. Read the Word of God." If I jump over into the book of Ezekiel, man, I'm going to be like, wow. You know? But if I ask the Lord to help direct me, He'll give it to me in ways that I can understand it, that it will go in here and that it will make sense, open my eyes to it. You start with the book of John. You know, go over to the book of 1 John, maybe read some of Peter, And it makes a lot of sense to you. It starts opening up to you and saying, hey, this is the way we need to be. This is the way we need to live. We should also have the desire. You can ask, and then we need to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, we need to have that desire to grow. We need to ask the Lord, and then we need to do it. He ain't going to open the Bible and lay it to you in the living room. He's not going to walk up. Jesus ain't going to show up, and He ain't going to turn off your remote. He's not going to turn off your telephone. He's not going to do any of those things. We've got to do that. We've got to have that willingness to set all of this stuff aside and say, you know what? I want the Holy Spirit to control me. I want to do exactly what Jesus wants me to do. And if we'll do that, then we can be used of Him. We'll be a vessel that's useful for the Lord. There are people that will sit on the pew. They'll sit at home after they get saved. And 30 years from now, they're still doing the same thing. They're still sucking on a bottle. They never graduated into anything different. There they sit. They're just on the milk of the Word. And Paul said, shame on you. Really, that's what he said. You shouldn't be that. You should be moving on. Now, when we are filled with the Spirit, we can have joy. Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 5. When we are controlled by the Spirit, Ephesians somewhere around there. Here it is. Yeah, it is. All right, verse 9. Well, let's start verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's control. Let me ask you, why do you think he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, because everybody's drinking wine? No, it's a good example. It really is of being controlled by. If I'm filled with Jack Daniels, I'm controlled by what was in that bottle. That is the whole idea. When Paul states in there we are to be sober-minded, that means we're to be in control of our own mind. We're to be in control of that. If I'm out here doing drugs, or if I'm out here drinking alcohol, am I in control? Uh-uh. Listen, you can drink whiskey, and you might not be but as big as I am. But after about a half a fifth of Jack Daniels, man, I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. You know, you think you are. You're being controlled by that stuff. It's the same way with drugs. I don't care what drug it is. If you're on something that's a mind-altering substance, Jesus said, leave it alone. That's what He told him. Because how in the world am I going to be in control of my mind if I'm on a mind-altering substance? Whether it's legal, whether it's illegal. You can't be in control of it. So that's what He told us to do. And then He says, verse 19, speaking to yourself. Now listen, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled, in other words. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're supposed to, if you want joy, you need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. What's all things? Yeah, whether I'm laid up in hospital, whether I'm I just walked out of the doctor's office and he said, you got 3 months at best. Or whether I come out of the doctor's office and he said, hey, you're doing great, man. Keep on doing what you're doing. And I went and got a hamburger when he told me that. He's like, amen. Hey, Brother Mike, I like that doctor. He is cool. You know? But really, we're to give thanks all things. If you look over in Philippians, Paul says we're to be joyful. He was writing it from prison, and yet he had joy. And he said in there, he said, by the way, and I'll just paraphrase it because I can't quote it, but basically he said, if you're laid up in the Hilton right outside of Santa Monica and you're eating ribeyes, be content. That's a pretty good deal. But then he said, but if you're down here in the dungeon, rats crawling around on your feet, and you're eating whatever you can get a hold of, be content. Now, is that's tough. Am I able to do that? I through Jesus. Because not long after that, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens him, strengthens me. If I try to do it on my own, I ain't going to make it. If I'm laid up in the hospital and they're looking at heart surgery or whatever it is, and I'm trying to feel good about it on my own, I ain't going to make it. But if I say, you know what, God, you got me here for a reason. I ain't sure what it is and I ain't liking it, but hey, I'm here. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't liking it much that the doctor was playing around my heart, but that's where the Lord had me. And I said, I'm in your hands. You take care of it. I was in his hands anyway. But it works out a whole lot better when I say, I'm in your hands. You take care. I've handed it over to him now. And I say, okay, I want to be controlled by you. Well, I was laying there on that stupid cold table, you know, and they covered me up with this nice hot blanket. It was pretty nice. But I was laying there singing Amazing Grace, and I'm not real sure if I was singing out loud or not. I don't know. I don't really know. You know, there wasn't none of them laughing. But that's what I started doing. I started just singing things like, boy, I got so calm and relaxed. That's where 19 comes in at. You know, when it all hits the fan and life is falling apart and you're like, what is wrong? That's when you start singing these songs. Start singing them in your head. Start, you know, and it'll work for anything. You're going down the road and you got a bad thought come through your mind that really, you know, it ought not to be there. Well, start singing this little light of mine. You'd be surprised how all that will start changing because it don't mix. It just don't. And you're either going to let the nasty thought take on off, or you're going to let what you ought to be thinking about Jesus take off. And you know, if you're saved, you start thinking, well, let me think some more. No, that ain't right. That little voice in there said, no, 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 no. And you start singing louder and louder. People look at you. Hey, they don't look at you crazy anymore because folk go down the road talking to themselves all the time. You know, they think you're on the phone. So, you know, you're just singing to somebody on the phone. No. But if you're controlled with the Spirit, listen, we can be for service. If we're controlled with the Spirit, then we can have service for the Lord. Acts chapter 6, we're going to jump around a few places. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. And why am I in Romans? It ain't going to work. Well, I guess it would, but it wouldn't match up what you're reading. Acts 6, verse 3, it says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. They were seeking deacons, by the way, in this chapter. But this is what the Holy Spirit told them. This is what Peter and those guys said. He said, listen, we need some deacons. Look out among you and see if you can find men that are controlled by the Holy Spirit. He didn't say that we're doing all kind of wonders. He said they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. They're putting God first in their life. They're living for the Lord. It equips you for service when we become controlled by the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 11 of Acts. Verse 22 through 24. He says here, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. They sent them to see what was going on, and people were getting saved, and man, Barnabas got excited. And for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. In other words, he was controlled by the Holy Ghost and he had much faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. That's what, if you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit, then you're opening the door for the joy. You're opening the door for the service to God. Power to be a witness. We'll be able to go out and witness to people. Acts 1, verse 8 tells us, and over in Acts 2, 4 and 7, they were witnesses to the Lord. If we're not full of the Holy Ghost, if we're not being controlled by the Holy Ghost, we ain't going to be much of a witness. You know, really, we're not. It's just not going to happen. People's not going to see Christ in us. We've got to be that way. Now, in persecution, that ain't a good one. Verse 54, chapter 7 of Acts, verse 54. He's talking about one of the deacons that they chose. Verse 54 of Acts, chapter 7. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Stephen went out and he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was under control of the Holy Ghost. He went out and preached the Word of God. They got mad at him and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You can imagine how that would have been. Then they decided, I am going to stone him. They all jumped on him and stoned him to death. And while they were throwing rocks, he looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, they got even madder. And then he turned around and said, you know what, Jesus, don't lay this to their charge. If you're not full, if you're not controlled by the Holy Ghost, you're not going to say, Lord Jesus, don't lay this to their charge. They don't know what they're doing. No, you're going to be throwing rocks back. That's exactly what you're going to be doing. But hey, he was being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So even in persecution, when things just come down to the, it went that far south and you're fixing to die, if you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit, you can handle it. Lord says He'll be there for us. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Paul said we are to walk in the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're walking in the Spirit, then guess what we'll start producing? The fruit of the Spirit. We'll start producing the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the meekness. We'll start producing that. That will start coming out. What is that? Wellspring of water? That's what it's talking about. All of that's going to start flowing and coming out. And people are going to see Christ in us. Whoa, I'm going to kill myself. Led by the Spirit. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 14. Sandy, do me a favor. Flip that switch over here on the AC. I don't want nobody passing out. It is warm. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Led by the Spirit. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we're being led by the Spirit of God, guess what? God's not ashamed to call us the sons of God. He's not going to be ashamed of us. We're not going to be ashamed by the way at His appearing. 1 John 2:28. I don't know what it would feel like to be ashamed to Jesus Christ. And don't want to know. I know what it felt like to be ashamed when my dad come around and I hadn't been doing what I ought to have been doing. And it wasn't good. It's not a good feeling. But I don't want to be that way with Jesus. So I want to be controlled by the Spirit. That's something that we have to work on. You know, it really is. And we've got to ask the Lord to help us to do that. It's one thing to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That's being saved. But it's another thing to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. To let Him in control, man, that means you're surrendering everything to God. All your thoughts, all your actions, everything. Inside and out. The whole nine yards. Completely. You know, and I always looked at that. Well, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I know I've told you this before. I'm going to get up, and I ain't going to sin today. I'm going to do good. That ain't the way to walk in the Spirit. Don't worry about not sinning. If you'll keep your mind on Christ, you might sin during the day. But guess what? It'll be a whole lot less than if you're concentrating on, I'm not going to sin. You need to be concentrating on saying, I am going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be like Christ. And as we go through the day, hey, when somebody makes you mad, what would Christ do? It's real easy. And I look at it a lot of times, and I'll tell you a story. I went down here, a week ago? A little over a week ago. I ordered a coffee pot. Big coffee pot. The guy helped me pick it out on a Thursday. He says, it'll be in tomorrow. I'll call you. Never heard from him. So I waited. Never heard from him Saturday, so I called him. Oh, yeah, it'll be here Monday. I never heard from him. So I waited till Tuesday. Oh, man, I'm sorry. You know, it'll be here, I promise you. Thursday, you can come get it. He said, I'm going to get it myself. I was okay. Never heard from him Thursday. I am getting a little bit on the irate side. Well, Saturday, I called him. Oh, yeah, dude, I got it. Come on down, get it. I said, okay, good deal. I get down there, it's this big. And it's about this big. I'm like, and that's $100? And so now we've ordered the big one. And it'll be here Monday. Tuesday at the latest. I could have went down there, and there was a few times at the house I got off the phone and I said, Jack legs, let me get a hold of you. You know, I'm thinking, get a job. I even know the guy's name. I've got his personal cell number. He's going down Boulder Highway Friday. And I said, hey, why ain't you at work and getting my, you know, I didn't tell him that, but I told Sandy, I said, there goes Brett. Instead of getting my coffee pot, he's riding up and down the highway. I said, no, what would Jesus do about it? Hey, what's it going to matter? Francisco fixed the other coffee pot, so we've got two. Although we plugged them up Saturday, and it was an easy mistake, but they plugged them up Saturday, but we forgot to turn them on. So this morning, bless her heart, Nita was in here warming coffee. You know, I can hear her now. What knothead didn't? No, she didn't do that. But that's really what we've got to look at. We've got to say, hey, how would Jesus approach it? You know, really, how would he? That's what we need to be doing. You know, there's a time to stand and say, as Jesus did, you bunch of Pharisees. He said, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. You're vipers. But he taught them how to get saved, too. We need to let the Holy Spirit control our actions on a daily basis, all day long, and all night long, even when we got an attitude with somebody over a coffee pot. Which, hey, I was in the right according to our standards. I could have chewed him out and said, look, give me a refund. But I didn't. He even offered. He said, man, I'm sorry. He said, you know, I said, hey, no big deal. We may do without it. Both Saturdays. That's what we got to do. Let's stand. And if Sister Judy come up and play us a song. If the Lord has moved you today to come to the altar or whatever it may be, follow His leadership.